Today, many in the medical community are calling loneliness a public health crisis. Doctors say that loneliness often leads to depression, sleepless nights. It will also have negative impacts on your heart and can shave years off your life. I have personally spoken with people who can't hold back the tears as they share the pains of loneliness. You can talk to elderly people who have outlived their friends, or you can talk to young people on crowded college campuses. And what you will find are people of every age who say they're lonely, and they just don't know what to do about it. Perhaps it's not surprising to hear this about people who've outlived their siblings, their friends, their spouse, and spend the remaining days of their life in a hospital bed. But today, we are also talking about our youth. People who live in a society where cell phones and the internet and social media have opened up communication channels like never before, and yet they still feel empty, forgotten, and lonely. While one might think that social media is a good way to connect with others, it is actually having the exact opposite impact as people spend their day scrolling through feeds of people doing great things and having all kinds of fun. And that just makes loneliness worse as they sit on their bed thinking they are missing out on a world that isn't even real. The fact is, social media isn't very social at all. I have personally seen customer service decline as there is an entire generation coming up that does not know how to interact with other people when they're standing right in front of them. Time spent on your phone or your computer is just not the same as real human interaction. Social media can also lead to increased insecurity, as many people think to themselves, I can't interact with all of these perfect people I see online. My life is nothing like theirs. Then when life's normal difficulties come, and there's no friend, no companion to lean on, that's when the pain of feeling like no one sees you becomes unbearable. Being lonely will likely impact every human being at some point in their life. Many single adults suffer from loneliness. Widows and widowers suffer from loneliness. Even in a marriage, a woman might have a husband who's working around the clock, leaving no time for her, and she would say, I'm married, but I'm very lonely. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day who was telling me about her adult daughter who has autism. And her daughter is now starting to be aware of how other people view her. She's now aware of the fact that she doesn't get invited to go places. And she too longs for friendship. I remember speaking to a successful businessman on another occasion. This was many years ago. We were in his corner office on the top floor of a high-rise building overlooking the San Francisco Bay. And I was there as part of a leadership program, and we had to interview successful executives. And I asked him this, was it worth it? And he paused for a moment and then very honestly said no. I gave my entire life to my career. I've burned through 3 marriages. My kids won't talk to me anymore. I've had 2 heart attacks, and I live alone. I'll never forget him saying to me, I will go home tonight, and there will be no one to greet me there. The Bible shares these wise words. Then I returned, and I saw vanity under the sun. There was one alone without companion. He has neither son nor brother, yet there is no end to all his labors, nor is his eye satisfied with riches. But he never asks, for whom do I toil and deprive myself of good? This also is vanity and a grave misfortune. 2 are better than 1, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if 2 lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now, on the surface, this text states the obvious. There are very clear advantages to having a companion when compared to being alone. But there's an additional depth to what the Bible is teaching us here when we look at it in light of the context. The wise King Solomon is the one speaking here, and he's speaking about the vanity of choosing to live in this world without God. If God gives everything meaning and purpose in life, and Solomon argues that he does, then the person who is truly alone is the person who does not have God. Yes, Solomon is also thinking about the advantages of human friendship, but he's also talking about the value of living with God in your life. And that's why he ends the thought by saying, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Don't miss this very important point. You can be married, have several children, have several people you call friends, enjoy your teammates at work, and spend your days hanging out with large crowds of people at sporting events, for example. But if you do not have God in your life, you are alone. Let's build on this thought. When we look at the many people mentioned in the Bible, what we find are ordinary people like you and me. And that means we see loneliness talked about often. You might even be surprised to know that Israel's kings, her prophets, they spoke about their loneliness. But perhaps no one is more vocal about it than King David, who spent a good amount of his time as a refugee running to hide from King Saul, who wanted to kill him. King David said this, "Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul." On another occasion, David wrote this, "I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I lie awake and am like a sparrow alone on the housetop." And then there's David's famous cry, my God, why have you forsaken me?" These are all snapshots of a moment in time when David felt lonely. But if you read the entirety of each of the Psalms where these thoughts are recorded, you're going to clearly see God never left David. We look at the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul. Even he had his moments. He said to his friend Timothy, "At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me." But then the very next verse says, "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Aren't you glad these words were written down so we can see that we are not the only ones who feel lonely at times? One of the things we learn from David, Paul, and the many others in the Bible who shared their feelings of loneliness is that there is a difference between being alone and feeling lonely. David and Paul were both able to overcome their feeling of loneliness when they remembered God's presence. So they were still alone in the sense that there were no other human beings around, but they were not truly alone because God says, "I was there." It is possible to be surrounded by a large crowd of people and still feel lonely. It's also possible to live in a home by yourself or go long stretches of time without other people around. And yet, some would say, "I don't feel lonely at all." It has been said, one man's loneliness is another man's peace of mind. The difference is this. Being alone is a reference to the fact that nobody else is around, physically speaking. But being lonely, feeling lonely, it is a feeling that you have no friends, no companions, no one to enjoy life with. It's a feeling of being disconnected. The Bible tells us about a woman who found herself in a very desperate situation, and her name was Hagar. She became pregnant by a man named Abraham. Problem is, Hagar was not Abraham's wife. Sarah was his wife, and Hagar was Sarah's maid. I think anyone can see already that this story isn't heading in a good direction. Sarah ends up despising Hagar, treats her harshly, and ultimately Hagar ends up running away. Hagar then finds herself pregnant, out in the middle of nowhere, and feeling quite alone. And that's when God comes to her and tells her to return to Abraham and Sarah, and he promises to bless her. And once Hagar sees God, she says to him, "You are the God who sees me." There's just something within us that desires to be seen, to be heard, to be valued by others. And no one does that better than God. No one sees you, all of the time, more than God. No one can hear your thoughts and the cries of your heart better than God. And no one values you more than the one who created you. You know this, we live in a very selfish world where people typically only look out for themselves. You can try to find friends who will go camping with you. You can try to create a travel group, start a game night at your house, maybe schedule a group dinner in search of deep connections with others. But the only problem with all of that is that these are brief moments in time. The camping trip ends. The game night ends. People leave and they say goodbye. But not so with God. Listen to something else King David wrote. He said, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it." King David then goes on to speak about how God not only made us, but his interest in us does not stop after he formed us in our mother's womb. Now, to be more specific, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the one that did the actual work of creation. He made us. Now, we typically think of Jesus as our Savior. He's the one who took on human flesh to show us who God is and to die for our sins. But I think the fact that he is our maker goes a long way in explaining why he would give his life for us. Why would Jesus freely choose to give his life for me? Well, part of the answer includes the fact that he made me, and he made you for himself. And he has done everything within his power to also rescue and save us from the sins that separate us from him. Friend, are you lonely? Have you been convinced that nobody cares about you? Do you long for connection and completeness? Do not forget that it is Jesus who made you. He knows you better than you know yourself. In fact, the first problem identified in the Bible is when God says, "It is not good that man should be alone." No wonder Jesus said to his own disciples, prior to leaving them and ascending back into the heavens, he said, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That's Jesus' way of saying, "You will never be alone. I will always be there for you." And my encouragement to you today is to seek the friendship that Jesus Christ desires to have with you. Jesus not only says to everyone, "Follow me," and he welcomes all who choose to do that, but Jesus also promises his followers he will be with them always. God says to his people, "I will never leave you or forsake you." The cure for loneliness in this world is Jesus Christ. His followers are never alone because Jesus places each one in his church where we are not only connected to Him, but we are connected to other Christians. And the fellowship and the friendship enjoyed in the church is something you cannot find in this world. I've looked. I've been part of adult sports programs where we meet one night a week to play softball or basketball. I've enjoyed membership at a golf club where I played golf with other people who loved golf. I've been in book clubs where we meet once a month to discuss a book everyone has read. There's an endless list of social things you can do to connect with other people, but I can tell you this. None of those experiences I just mentioned come even close to the fellowship I enjoy with other Christians in the church, because those friendships are eternal and they are bound together by Jesus Himself. My friend, you don't have to be alone anymore. Jesus desires a relationship with you, and there is a place in His church for you. Choice is yours. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." He's knocking on your door right now. You have to decide if you will invite him in. But you don't have to walk alone anymore. Because anyone who's willing to walk with Jesus and follow Jesus will never be alone. And Jesus will do everything you would expect from a perfect friend. He'll always be near you. He will help you carry your burdens. He'll give you wise counsel and tell you the best way to live. And you will never, never, ever have to worry about Him leaving you. I'll leave you with one more thing Jesus said. "Greater love has no one than this, that He lay down His life for His friends." "You are my friends," He said, "if you do whatever I command you." If you want to know more about becoming a follower of Jesus, a friend of Jesus, a Christian, we would love to help you. We're just an email away, help@wvbs.org.